This morning's scripture reading will be coming from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses 26 through 27. Again, Genesis 1, 26 through 27. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them.
Good morning. It is a delight to see you this morning. Happy New Year. Thank you. You're more than kind. I appreciate it. I want one too. Thank you. I'd like to have a Happy New Year if y'all are passing them out. What a wonderful day to be together, a new year, new opportunities, and we could not be happier that the God of heaven has blessed us to be here another year to glorify and honor his holy name. Pray for you and your family. Hope that all goes well this year as you seek to serve the Lord. It is our first Sunday. We are talking about building here in this place. Excited about that as well. I want to share with you three reasons why we will succeed in our endeavor. This evening, we're going to spend some time, at least it's kind of gotten into my head, to spend some time in Genesis. So if you started your Bible reading in the first of the year, we'll be preaching some sermons out of Genesis, kind of moving forward that way, maybe as an overview and some of the things you're going to see and learn in that book, kind of help you along, try to as best we can to understand the Bible, and the book of Genesis is certainly the place to begin to do that. So I invite you back this evening and subsequent evenings as we kind of look into that, God's work and what we're reading there. One of the reasons we will succeed, we had read for us this morning. It is precisely that. We will succeed. We can, we must. 2 points on we can, 1 point on why we must. Point number one, we can because we share the image of God. That is why we can. In fact, that's really the motto for humanity. I can. I believe I can. Well, we get that belief. We get that concept from God. We share his image. In fact, as you work your way through the Bible, you will find out that God does whatever it is he plans, he purposes, he prepares, and he executes. That's what makes humanity different than the animals. That's why we're not animals. They operate instinctively. They do what they do because that's all they can do. They don't have any options. The zebra will continue to be a zebra. It will have its stripes. Not going to change those. The lions will continue to chase the antelope, the deer. That's what they do. They will continue to do that. And the hyenas will wait for the kill to come along and try to take it from the lion. They don't want to do the work. They just want to borrow the kill. That's what they'll do. And they'll keep on doing that, but not us. Not humans. In fact, you probably had in your mind as you entered the end of the close of last year saying to yourself, I'm going to do different. I'm going to be different. I'm going to do X as opposed to Y. I'm going to. And then you may have even sat down and thought about plans and why you were going to be able to succeed. Because we, like our Heavenly Father, we purpose things. We plan things. We prepare. And then we execute. As we read through the Bible, that's what we find God doing. Isaiah chapter 45 speaks of God's creation of the world. And this is what it says. Verse number 12, I have made the earth, the Bible says, and created man upon it. He goes on to say, I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. In verse number 18, if you were to read that verse and the verses between the two, throughout Scripture, God is contrasted with idols and why they are nothing like him. Verse 18, he says, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself, that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord. And there is none like me. The earth is not just a random sphere that happened to be conducive to human life. There is a reason we don't live on any other planet. Because this one was formed to be inhabited. God made the world, spent 5 days in preparation, and then made man on day six to inhabit the earth. God plans, he purposes, he prepares, he executes. Man has the capacity to behave just like God. In fact, Genesis chapter 4 and verse 17, man has been building since nearly his inception. After being put out of the garden, they began to build cities. They began to build. That's what humans do. Why will we succeed? Because we share the image of God. That's why we'll succeed. But then secondly, human will is practically limitless. The human spirit, the human will. Why can we do this? Because the human, and I have to say practically, because there's probably something we can't do. We don't know what it is, but there's probably something. And so I have to say practically, but it's almost limitless. What do I mean? Look at some of these things that humans do. Humans do what we will to do. Humans climb Mount Everest. Now, there are a lot of humans who would not contemplate climbing Everest. But there are some who, when they saw it, they said, yeah, I think I can. And we can get up there. How are we going to get up there? We're going to climb it. We're just going to start walking up a mountain. Humans do stuff like that. Humans swim the English Channel. Humans do that. 22.5 miles. Humans swim that. I was reading about the English Channel crossings and how many there have been. Reading about when they started. It was kind of interesting. You know, somebody as young as 6, 11 has swam this channel. One man was swimming and the tide and current pushed him. He ended up swimming 56 miles. Humans and the human will. They said you couldn't run less than 4 minutes in a mile. You could not do it. Your heart would explode out of your chest. You'd kill yourself. You couldn't do it. And then Sir Roger Bannister did it. And subsequently, a whole lot of humans did it. We run marathons. We do triathletes. I understand there to be more than a marathon. People run 50 and 100 miles. Humans and the human will. We go to the moon. We build bridges, skyscrapers, computers. Next time you go over a big body of water and a bridge, or next time you're in Virginia and you go under the water, it wasn't sufficient to build over. We want to build a tunnel underneath. You want to get scared? Just go into one of those tunnels underneath the water. Humans do that. Go to the moon, we build bridges, skyscrapers, computers, surgeries, planes, trains, and automobiles. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. We probe Mars because some humans want to live there. We think we want to live on Mars. We broke the genetic code. I mean, if the collective body of people in this room decide we want to, there is literally nothing that could stop us. The human will basically has no limits. Now, I'm saying basically, I'm saying practically, but don't take my word for it. You have your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 11. I'll read you a few verses with you. When God talks about the human will, when God talks about the human spirit, in fact, there was a project undertaken like no other building project ever known. It's the greatest building project ever thought about. The most lofty goal ever conspired. Some humans got together. This is what they said. Go to. Let us build us a city and a tower. Great. How high? Whose top may reach unto the heaven. You talk about skyscraper. They meant literally. Let us put the top of ours so that it scrapes the sky, so that it reaches the heavens. Let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. It got God's interest, and the Bible says the Lord came down to see. the city and the tower which the children of men builded. But it goes further. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. They have all one language. And this they begin to do. That last couple of phrases are God's words on the human will. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Is God saying they would have been successful? Is God actually saying they could do this? And now nothing that they have imagined, nothing, will be restrained. Such is the nature of the human will and the human spirit. Why can we do this? Because there is enough will in this room to do so much more than we've simply planned to do in this endeavor. We've not even begun to tap into the possibilities of the collective people in this room. We can. Why? Because we share the image of God. We can simply plan it, purpose it, prepare it, and then execute that plan. We can do that. But then the human will practically has no limit. We can, because of this spirit, this will, that can accomplish nearly anything we set out to do. But then thirdly, two reasons we can, one reason we must. We are the next man up. You know, if you are watching sports and you hear next man up, what they mean by that is simply someone has either retired or gotten injured, and somebody has to get into that place and do that job. There has to be somebody to fill the void. You are the next man up, and sometimes you will see it. The person will be thrust into action all of a sudden. You'll see sometimes an injury happen on the field and a person over there scrambling to find their helmet. See, they didn't plan to play today. Now, they are a professional and they did go through the drills and they do understand the team's challenges and offenses and that sort of thing. But they had somebody playing. And so what they would do was to hold the clipboard and support that person. That was the goal. They showed up with that in mind. And then, unbeknownst to them, you actually have to play today. You're the next man up. Well, in sports, it works real well because typically they have a lot of people. And sometimes what they have found in sports is the person that steps in is sometimes better than the one they replaced. They just didn't know it because he never got to play. But now that he's in the game, he's on a winning streak. And there have been people who haven't been allowed to get their jobs back once they're healed because that person is doing so well. How does that relate to us? Well, first of all, let me say this. It's a biblical concept. When you and I are reading the Bible, it is never the case that God's work stops because of one person's either passing, injury, turning away, or otherwise. God's work never stops. Can you imagine the conversation that God and Joshua had? You have your Bibles. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and listen to the things that God says to Joshua. Can you imagine one day you were serving and helping to minister for Moses? You had been with him all of this way and you've seen the children of Israel and Moses and the job that he's done. You've seen it up close. And one day God begins to talk to you. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to thee, even to the children of Israel, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, as I have been with, as I have given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness unto this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, to all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. If we wanted to narrow that down, it would be this. Joshua, you're the next man up. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, you're the new leader. It kind of works that way all the way through the Bible. You see, Joshua served his time, and the book of Judges opens by telling us Joshua and all of that generation died. So when we get to chapter 6 and God needs a deliverer, he says, Gideon, you're the next man up. Gideon, like Joshua before him, didn't feel prepared, tried to make excuses. But you remember, Joshua did the same thing Moses did. When God called Moses, Moses said, can't be me, get somebody else. And it seems that every time this next man is called, they always feel unprepared for the task. They always feel a little bit overwhelmed by the call. But then over time, we see them stepping into those shoes and often doing a wonderful job, sometimes seemingly better than their predecessor. How does that relate to you and I? Well, the truth of the matter, friends, is it's our time. We are the next man up. You know, we have the elders we have. That's what we have here in this place right now. These are our elders. We have had previous elderships, but what we have right now are these three elders. That's what we have. We've had previous deacons, but what we have right now in this place, these are the deacons that we have. This congregation has been constructed of different memberships through the years, but as it stands today in this place, this is the membership we have. We are Avondale. Friends, if it's going to be done, it'll be done by us. A group of Christians built this building about 1955. You know what that group of Christians were? A group of Christians. That group and some others around 1974 added to the building. That's what they did. Who did that? Well, they did. They were here. Fast forward to 2016. Who's here? You see, we can and we must. Because if it will be done, it will be done by Avondale. It will be done by those of us who are here in this place right now. We are the next man up. Friends, we can and we must. We can because we're made in the image of God. We have planned, we have purpose, we prepare. We can because the human will is almost boundless. We are not talking about climbing Everest. We're not talking about running sub 4-minute miles. We're not talking about swimming the English Channel. We're not talking about great human physical strength. What we're talking about is the will, the heart, the mind to do. Friends, we can do that. So we'll affect and change our budgets. And so we'll go without this thing for this better thing. And so we won't eat out as much, and we won't buy as much, and we won't do this and do that. We will make changes so we can. Because we can. But friends, if it's going to be done, we're it. We are here in this place right now. We are Avondale. We can, we must. We can succeed, and we must succeed. Now, to Christian this morning, we're talking about a physical structure and building it. But that's not really where your focus needs to be this morning. Your focus needs to be on your spiritual life and building it. The only way to do that to start a relationship with the God of heaven through his son, Jesus Christ. Friends, you need to accept his gospel and obey the good news that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That God rules in heaven. He sent his son to die for our sins. Believe that Jesus is God's son, John 8:24, and repent of your sins. Start the new year with God. Start the new year with Jesus. Start the new year by becoming a Christian. Repent of your sins, Luke 13:3, and confess the name of Christ, Romans 10:9-10, and be buried with him in baptism, Acts 2:38, 22:16. for the forgiveness of your sins. And God, through Christ, will wash away every sin. You want a 2016 that is wonderful and great, peaceful and tranquil? You want a 2016 of joy? Then put your hand in the hand of God and Jesus. Friends, if you've never obeyed the gospel, you need to. If you are His child, you need to come home. Sometimes people start out in 2016 and they tell themselves, I'm going back. I'm going back home. I've had enough of the world. I've had enough of this stuff. It's not getting me anywhere. I'm tired, they come to themselves. Maybe that's one of God's children this very morning in this place. Here's what you need to understand. Your Father's arms are ever open. And He would love nothing more than for one of His children to come home, to start over, to start anew, renew your life and your walk. If you need to do that, God wants you and God will have you back. But then there are those who are faithful, committed to the God of heaven and committed to this work in this place. Friends, that sermon was for us this morning. We can do this. We can and we must. Pray that you will look into your hearts, look into your life, and consider wherein you can help the work that is in this place, because we are Avondale. If it will be done, it will be done by us. We're the next man up. We can assist you in any way. We invite you to come. As we stand and as we sing.